that is less likely to be vaccinated. In recent days, local public health officials and federal experts have been sounding the alarm about the threat posed by the Delta strain in the hope that residents of other states will learn from the public health disaster that's unfolding in Missouri. If people elsewhere in the country are looking to us and saying no thanks and they're getting vaccinated, that is good, said Frederick. We will be the canary. During a press briefing earlier this week, Dr. Anthony Fauci, head of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, called the Delta variant the greatest threat in the U.S. to our attempt to eliminate COVID-19, unquote. Good news, vaccines are effective against the Delta variant, Fauci added. Conclusion, we have the tools, so let's use them and crush the outbreak. Though Missouri has seen the most acute consequences of the Delta variant thus far, the mutation is also spreading to Utah, New York, Nevada, Arkansas, and other states, raising concerns of an imminent nationwide spike in cases that could be followed by increased hospitalizations and deaths, particularly among the unvaccinated. An AP analysis recently found that nearly all COVID-19 deaths in the U.S. now are in people who weren't vaccinated, a staggering demonstration of how effective the shots have been and an indication that deaths per day now down to under 300 could be practically zero if everyone eligible got the vaccine. But the U.S. vaccination drive has slowed in recent weeks, and the Biden White House conceded that it will miss its goal of getting 70% of the nation's adults at least partially vaccinated by July 4th. Citing a new Centers for Disease Control and Prevention analysis released recently, the Washington Post reported that vaccine resistance is greater among younger people. Just 38.3% of those ages 18 to 29 have been vaccinated, the Post noted, adding across all age groups, people living in counties with high rates of poor and uninsured people and less access to computers and the internet were less likely to be vaccinated. In general, rural and Republican areas have embraced vaccination less in cities and Democratic states in Northeast and along the West Coast. The Delta variant currently accounts for more than a third of all new coronavirus cases in the U.S. In India and the U.K., the strain is behind more than 90% of new infections. Officials in Sydney, Australia are also rushing to contain Delta outbreak. After observing the startlingly swift rise of Delta variant in the U.K., other countries are bracing for the variant's impact if they aren't feeling it already, Nature's Ewan Calabay reported earlier this week. Nations with ample access to vaccines, such as those in Europe and North America, are hopeful that the shots can dampen the inevitable rise of Delta. But in countries without large vaccine stocks, particularly in Africa, some scientists worry that the variant could be devastating. Ashish Jill, dean of the Brown University School of Public Health, warned in a series of tweets recently that the U.S. could soon see an infection surge similar to the one hitting the U.K., which has vaccinated a large percentage of its population. Adding, the U.K. experience suggests U.S. vaccination level will not be enough to ward off a Delta spike. The spike won't be uniform across the nation. Indeed, low-vax communities are particularly at risk.
comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. To all our brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You are listening to IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Islamic Upbringing, where we discuss the issues and topics related to the Islamic upbringing of our children, who are our future and the future of our communities. Now, to help us, we have with us Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi. Assalamu alaikum, Sayyid Abdullah. Thank you very much for giving us your time.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's a pleasure being here with you.
Thank you. Okay, so we've been talking about the prerequisites and methods that we will be covering in this program, and we've been given a summary in each one. Last time we talked about habits, teaching our children habits early on, because it will become an essential part of their lives. It will be difficult for them to leave, like brushing their teeth, saying Bismillah before drinking water, and Alhamdulillah after. We talked about the importance of acting or pretending and playing along with them, as the Prophet put it, to take ourselves to their level and play along with them. And we talked about how important pretending is in promoting the creativity of the children, and trying to stop children will kind of kill that creativity. So what is the next method that we'll be learning about?
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه. Previously we said we need to be role models, right? Another method is creating better role models. The differences between us being role models and creating role models is that the child sometimes, because he subconsciously or consciously, he sees the parents as authority figures. So the chances of him learning from his parents, being role models, is not as much as him learning from others, right? If you look at children, for example, or, you know, across the board, or children, teenagers, if you look in their rooms, you find posters of soccer players, you find posters of singers, posters of actors, posters of people they relate to. Right, of people they love, and they take their habits. For example, you find many boys, for example, they who are into soccer, they have pictures of Ronaldo or Messi or these guys.
Ali Day.
Or if you look at, for example, girls that would have pictures of, you know, actors or female actors and stuff like that, or models they could relate to. This itself is a very dangerous field, to let the child just choose whoever he wants as a role model. Because they will adopt, because even I speak for myself, that sometimes we try to walk like them, talk like them, especially when it comes to movies, if you know, movies or cartoons, and you try to enact these characters. And now this becomes an actual phenomenon, especially in Japan, for example. I was watching this cartoon called Attack on Titan. I don't know if you've heard of this.
I heard of it, yeah.
So I watched this cartoon, and then I did a bit of research on it, because my son, he was bugging me about watching it. And I'm very cautious of age restriction. So I looked at the cartoon itself. It's a horrible cartoon. It's very, you know, blood and gore cartoon. And then when I done a bit of research on it, it was like one of number one or number three in the world. But if you look in Japan, a lot of people, they dress like these characters. They walk in the street like these characters. Like they've taken them to heart. It became who they are even in the outside. So it's dangerous that I don't want my child to take a role model that is not good for him. So we need to do what? We need to shape who they should choose as role models.
Okay, that can be an interesting topic, but I'm wondering that if we keep saying no, 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 there was going to probably be resistance from them. Although you don't have much time to respond to that question, because we're going for a break.
After the break.
Yeah. Okay, we'll take the break right now, and we'll be back for that question. Don't go away.
When I was born, the first words that I had heard were the words of Allah being whispered through my ear. And as I felt Allah's presence in my soul, that day Islam took me in its fold.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Islamic Upbringing. So just before the break, you said that it's important for children, for us, to select the role models that our children have, or at least not let them have any person as a role model, because then they'll follow suit, and that can go to terrible places. But I mean, I'm saying that especially for someone living in the West, where children, there's a very harsh limitation on how much you can, it's not very easy to limit your children on what they see and what they hear, especially if they're not going to a Muslim school. How much can you resist and you stop them, prevent them from seeing various cartoons or...
Look, inshallah, later on we'll talk about this prevention thing, because that itself, it's not a good method, right?
Mm.
What we need to do as parents, because we're talking about trying to bring a child from a young age, we need to introduce to them role models ourselves, like personalities from our own, before they have to go and look themselves. The only reason is, think of it like this: when your mind is empty and you go outside, you start to take from outside. But if your mind is already full and you go to the outside, the chances of you trying to shove something in becomes a lot less, right? For example, when we teach our kids to have heroes and pictures of heroes, so what we do is, like, from a young age, we introduce the heroes and the role models ourselves to them, so that when they see others, they, you know, their mind starts to compare, like, who is this to Imam Ali, for example, when we talk about bravery, who is this guy to this guy, who is this guy to this guy. And for example, with girls as well, when we give them the picture of Zainab, the picture of Fatima Zahra, and we give them role models of ourselves, so that limits the chances of them adopting and getting role models who are bad.
Mm-hmm.
Or sometimes we don't, you know, even when you see a child, for example, going towards a role model, and instead of telling him off, right, explain to him why this person is bad, for example. For example, if I have to compare, if I have to look at soccer players, for example, if my son wants to look at Ronaldo, for example, Ronaldo is just a rich guy and he has, you know, this and that, and he has, you know, in his Instagram account, he has even bad pictures of himself and his family, like, you know, almost naked, completely naked, of his wife and his... I don't want my kids to go to Ronaldo and join him and, you know, start following him and go expose himself to this. For example, I would give him the alternative, which is Muhammad Salah. He's a Muslim. He does good things, you know. He, for example, he has, you know, he takes care of his family. He takes care of his mother. He's charitable. He has a lot of good traits. So we can do a bit of replacement, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the idea is we need to start from the beginning to filter the role models for them, so they don't have to go to someone that we don't want to go to.
Yeah, and this is also a method for us to give them the values that we want them to have. Like, for instance, pop artists are very popular, but we teach them that it's not about popularity, it's about being, like, for instance, on the path of truth, supporting the truth. It's not about flying, it's about being very, very staunch on supporting the truth and stuff like that.
Yeah, so like I said, so sometimes you need to explain to them who these people are, so they can understand that wrong and right obviously would have their own role model, so they can choose. Not saying, no, I don't want this, take that down, burn it, I don't know, rip it apart. That kind of method always the child would not accept.
Okay, thank you very much. Let's take our final break. We'll be back for another method. Don't go away.
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, raise your children to have three features: love for your Prophet, love for his household, and reciting the Quran.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Islamic Upbringing with Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi. So, in the last part, we talked about how it's important for us to create the right role models for our children, apart from ourselves. And I think the golden sentence in that thought was that we have to not try to prevent them because it could backfire. But explain to our children that good and bad people have their own role models. You have to choose which one you want to be. What is the next method that we're going to be learning about?
Next method is rather not a method. It's just something that kids do. Playing. Right. Playing for grown-ups, for me and you, is to fill up time. You know, I mean, I have friends who are my age or even older. They spend at least 8 hours a day behind a PlayStation playing COD, for example, or playing Fortnite and whatever. All these games, the old grown-up men, to them, that game or playing is to fill up time. Sometimes we take that mentality that I think that playing is trying to fill up time, and I shove it in my child's brain. I think that my child's also trying to fill up time and all waste time. But in fact, playing is an essential part of a child's life. That through playing, he gets to develop his social skills, his logic and his mental state gets to develop through the process of playing. So to the child, it's extremely important act of his life, his routine to play. Where if I look at it from where I stand, it's a waste of time or trying to fill up time. And most parents, you find like they tell the kids off when they see them playing, for example, or playing too much. They say, you know what, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't play too much. But in fact, the child gets his energy and he gets his brain starts to work through the act of playing. So we need to make sure that our children get adequate and enough time to play.
When you say playing, do you mean specifically digital games or any sort of playing?
Now, when it comes to playing, obviously, inshallah, we will later on expand more on it. But it's both, right? You need to have physical playing and digital playing. But digital playing, it also increases the child's brain's activity, and it does, according to some studies, it does increases his IQ, makes him a bit smarter. Too much of it, obviously, would kill him, would kill his brain, right? So we need to have both, physical
balance
and digital.
Right, and because I want our audience to think about this, and I will be thinking about all of these until the right time arrives, how is playing different to pretending? I mean, are they also playing? Because we just talked about acting in like a few sections ago.
No, so playing is like, for example, you see kids, for example, with Legos or with toys, they build things. Or
so
you
there's
see,
no
for
pretending
example,
in
no, he's not pretending. Or he plays soccer, for example, or he plays marbles, or he does an activity himself, a physical activity that's considered to be playing. Or even sometimes, as much as a child picking up a doll and talking to them, pretending that they are talking back to them, right? Mm-hmm. So they play, but pretending they have a vision of superhero or something in their mind that they're trying to recreate.
In other words, let's rename pretending to imitating.
You can say that.
Yeah, okay. That's all the time that we have, unfortunately. But if you miss the program, don't worry. You can always download an archive of this episode and all our previous episodes from our website. Simply visit parstoday.com. That's parstoday.com. Find the Call of Islam link and you will see us right there, Islamic Upbringing. You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir. That's englishradio@irib.ir. And also you can communicate with us directly through our social media accounts. Search at Call of Islam Radio on Instagram, Telegram, YouTube, and Twitter. Until next episode, happy parenting. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Islam solves all of its problems. Allah leaves no stone unturned. Perfect with no flaws at all are the laws of Allah. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is the way of life. A complete way, it's a complete way.
food for thought.
Hello, dear listeners, and here is a piece of advice from Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Riza, peace be upon him, on the necessity of avoiding a social ill that has unfortunately pervaded the contemporary world. The most hateful thing to Allah amongst the lawful acts is divorce.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website www.parstoday.com/en.
China's space agency has released videos of its first Mars rover as it's exploring the red planet's surface. The rover is named Zhurong. It's now investigating a vast plane known as Utopia Planitia on Mars's northern hemisphere. The rover successfully landed on Mars in mid-May. It is studying the red planet's surface rocks and atmosphere. It also looks for signs of life, including any subsurface water or ice. The solar-powered Chinese robot weighs around 240 kilograms and has 6 wheels. China is the second country after the U.S. to operate a rover on Mars. A university in the Venezuelan capital Caracas has turned its roof into a garden and uses sustainable energy to light up its classes. The roof of Andres Bello Catholic University is covered with plants and 30 solar panels. The panels, along with a wind turbine, produce the 7,400 watts of electricity to illuminate that area and light 2 rooms in the building. The roof is now functioning as a self-sufficient and environmentally friendly open-air classroom. The proposal for the project was put forward by 2 students. The aim is to educate people about renewable energy and the threat of climate change.
A small New Hampshire town has been hit by a series of car break-ins over the last few weeks. People were shocked when they finally discovered the mischievous criminal. A large black bear has been identified as the bandit wreaking havoc in the town of Thornton. The naughty mammal was caught on camera as it got on its 2 hind legs and skillfully opened the door of a car. Police say the bear was most likely rummaging for food. Authorities have asked people to remove food from their cars to avoid enticing the troublesome animal. Jordanian woman is receiving high demands for the soap she produces. Why? Because she uses an unusual ingredient. Lara Altiti makes soap out of camel milk. She tours different cities in Jordan to find the best camel farms for her business. Titi uses camel milk as the major ingredient for the soap she produces. That's because she says it has rich benefits and contains more vitamins than cow milks.
The first stage includes weighing the soap, and I include different kinds of oil to preserve the quality of the soap and its therapeutic benefit. We need to have high foam and tough consistency, and we don't want it to be rancid. We place high importance on the therapeutic material that we add during the production process.
Titi started her soap line at home using a manual process and then expanded it to an independent workshop. Her soap line has now become very popular in Jordan. Titi produces more than 4,000 soap bars a month. She tells them to both sells them both to domestic and international customers.
If you're a car lover, this story is for you. Over 300 classic vehicles have taken part in a retro rally across Estonia. The 1,000-kilometer rally kicked off in the town of Perde. It drew participants from Latvia and Finland. Their motto is Straight Ahead to the Past. The vintage cars participated in the event are mostly produced between 1930 and 1980. Experts say all the vehicles are in good condition. However, they doubt if all the vehicles can make it to the end of the five-day rally.
The German firm's electric air taxi takes its first flight at a show in an airport near the French capital, Paris. Volocopter's flying taxi, which looks like a tiny helicopter, took off and landed vertically over the airport with no passenger on board during a three-minute trial. Aside from its two-passenger capacity, the aircraft also has some room for luggage. It flew a 500-meter route at speeds of up to 30 kilometers per hour and 30 meters high along the airfield. The flying taxi service would first be operated by a licensed pilot, but the flight would be fully automated over a period of time.
With respect to regulation, initially we will have a fully certified, fully licensed helicopter pilot just to fit into existing regulation. But we believe over time it can be much simpler to obtain such an operating license for a volocopter. And of course, in the last instance, we want to take a pilot requirement out, and we want these vehicles to fly fully automated. So you will not need a pilot license anymore. You can just summon the volocopter, it will come and pick you up and bring you safely to your destination.
The German firm is entering the urban mobility market with high hopes of playing a major role in the infant industry. Volocopter says its objective is to have a service in operation for 2024 for the 2024 Olympic Games. Walking around the city without shoes can be delightful. If you're interested in the experience, visit the Russian capital. A 3.5-kilometer long barefoot trail has recently opened in Moscow's Elk Island Park. It's made of various materials such as pine bark, beach pebbles, and clay. Taking around 40 minutes to complete, the path attracts hundreds of visitors every day. However, some people find it difficult to walk without shoes, calling the path a torture trail. A zoo in Turkey has welcomed a baby elephant from an endangered species. The birth of a female calf at Izmir Wildlife Park has caused excitement in keepers and visitors. The calf, yet to be named, is the third offspring of parents from Asian species. The International Union for the Conservation of Nature classifies the Asian elephant as endangered due to their rapid decline in the wild. The Asian elephants are primarily threatened by poaching, fragmentation, and loss and degradation of habitat. Currently, around 20,000 to 40,000 Asian elephants are living across the world, five of which inhabiting Turkey's Izmir Zoo.
A Palestinian artist has come up with the idea of making children feel happy after the recent Israeli aggression on the besieged Gaza Strip left many people dead. Amna Sami is a young Palestinian artist who has gathered Palestinian kids in the city of Beit Lahia, north of Gaza. That's where houses were destroyed by Israeli airstrikes and bombings during the recent aggression on the territory. Sami draws the Palestinian flag as well as the map of Palestine on children's cheeks as patriotic symbols. She says she does that to say that these people in the midst of destruction will become strong again. Sami says by painting on kids' faces, she wants to send a message to the world.
I'm sending a message to the world that our children should live like other children in the world, away from danger and destruction. It is their right in life to live as children in a safe place, a place that gives them something to live a normal life.
Palestinian kids say they feel happy when Sami paints their faces. The Israeli regime launched this devastating onslaught on Gaza. In early May, at least 256 Palestinians, including 66 children, were killed during the 11-day war. A Turkish band has found musical inspiration in a most unlikely place, a local landfill. Here's more. Members of Funk Istanbul have assembled instruments from the dump in a junkyard in Istanbul. They use their ingenious new tools to play Turkish folk music. The band aims to raise awareness about recycling. Turkey is one of the biggest producers of municipal waste globally. The country has a low recycling rate. Only 12% of waste is repurposed there.
Technology has come in handy to rescue animals in disaster zones. American cinematographer Douglas Thron has used a high-tech infrared drone to save animals from fire or storm, or even those who are stuck in trees. The drone he uses has a large thermal camera, a spotlight, and zoom lens. The good point is that the aerial vehicle does not make too much noise. Therefore, it does not scare away animals.
So what I do is I fly infrared drones primarily at night over disaster areas after a hurricane or a fire hits, and I look for people's pets, whether it be cats or dogs, and I also look for injured wildlife, and then either I or rescue crews will go in and rescue the animals after I spot the animals after these natural disasters.
Thron has so far rescued hundreds of stranded animals in various places in the US and Australia. Emergency services have allowed him to participate in rescue efforts after making sure that the drone works well to achieve its goal.
The Light is a short bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
A video has gone viral showing animals at a U.S. zoo enjoying their bath time becoming clean as a new pimp. Keepers at Chicago's Brookfield Zoo washed the animals to celebrate International Bath Day. From anteaters to rhinos all got sprayed with a water hose. They seemed to love their bath time as it kept them cool in the summer heat. Zoo officials say the occasion is to honor ancient Greek scientist Archimedes, who made a discovery while in the bath. You might be pleased to know life is going back to normal as countries around the world are easing coronavirus restrictions. Disneyland in the French capital of Paris is saying bonjour to visitors once again with all necessary precautions. Bet everyone missed that. The theme park reopened its doors to the public with limited tickets and an online reservation system. All visitors over 6 years old are required to wear face masks and to observe social distancing guidelines. New attractions, including a hotel and various car rides, are also available for guests. Disneyland Paris was shut for over 7 months due to rising COVID-19 infections. This is the first time since January 2020 that all the six Disney resorts are open. Children have their own ways of remembering the dead. In Gaza, Palestinian kids fly kites in memory of their peers who lost their lives in the recent Israeli onslaught. Dozens of kids participated in the event, holding kites bearing the pictures of 66 little victims. According to the organizers, the goal was to send a message to people around the world that Palestinian kids have the right to live a free and happy life. The children said their dream is to fly in the sky without any restrictions or wars. A herd of wild Asian elephants in China has turned into international stars after leaving their natural habitat in Yunnan province. The herd of 15 elephants is said to have left home in southwest China 15 months ago, but it was in April when they grabbed officials' attention after they were spotted by locals. The elephants have so far trekked nearly 500 kilometers across the country. They have traveled through villages and towns and even stopped for a rest. Local authorities have welcomed these mammoth travelers with treats of sweet corn and bananas. They are monitoring the elephants' movements with drones while keeping them away from residential areas.
Chinese grandma has given a dazzling display of her masterly kung fu performance at a martial arts competition. The 98-year-old woman and her son took the stage as a curtain raiser to the event. The duo put on a kung fu show before a large crowd of spectators who were impressed by her skillful gestures. She was invited to the competition to act as a judge.
I started practicing martial arts when I was only five. I would box every day, learning movements like chopping, pushing palm, and thrusting palm. Though I am old now, my strength hasn't gone.
Zhang says she's inherited her family's martial arts. She's rumored to have a sense of justice from a very young age and try to help others, which earned her quite a reputation where she lives. Traditional martial arts have been passed down in the Zhongqing village located in Zhejiang province for 500 years. Go to Italy, where Mount Etna has put on an eye-catching show with its spectacular eruptions. Red-hot lava fountains and plumes of smoke spewed up into the sky. The main eruption was located at the southeastern crater of the volcano. Mount Etna is Europe's tallest active volcano. It's located above the Sicilian town of Catania. It often erupts but rarely causes damage. However, nearby residents have to deal with ash showers. Geological studies show that Mount Etna has been active for more than 2 million years now.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. In the name of the Almighty Allah, dear friends, salamun alaikum, peace and salutations of Allah be upon all of you. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Our topic to talk about is hardened hearts. Let's see what date is today. Today, Monday, is the 17th of Zilqa'dah, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 7th of Tir, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 28th of June, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. This is chapter Al-An'am, verse 43 from the Holy Quran.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Falawla idh ja'ahum ba'suna tadarra'u walakin qasat qulubuhum وزين لهم الشيطان ما كانوا يعملون.
Then why, when our punishment came to them, did they not humble themselves? But their hearts became hardened, and Satan made attractive to them that which they were doing.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
To be heedless unto divine warnings and not to be regardful is a sign of hard-heartedness. It is for this reason that the verse implies why they did not take counsel from these painful and awakening factors, and they did not awaken from the sleep of negligence and did not return toward Allah. In fact, the reason of their unawareness was two things. The first was that as a result of extra amount of sin, their hearts became dark and hardened. The second factor was that applying their mood of sensuality, Satan made their deeds seem decorous to them. So they considered right whatever wrong they did, and counted right and correct every offense they committed.
Reflecting on different Islamic topics, short commentary of the Holy Quran, hadiths of the infallibles, lessons from the life of the infallibles, all in today's special from IRIB English Radio.
From IRIB English Radio, this is today's special, and we're talking about hardened hearts. It is a curse to have a hardened heart, and it is a blessing to have a soft heart. Those with hardened hearts suffer in this life, even though they may have all of the trappings of this life. What seems to be an enjoyable life is empty. It is filled with loneliness. They cannot find peace of mind and of heart, because their hearts are hardened to Allah, to belief in Allah, to submission to Allah. That is why Allah said in the Holy Quran, chapter 20, verse 124, whoever turns away from my remembrance will have a wretched life. What is most beneficial in this life is a soft heart, really. We should strive to achieve it, because everything else would be meaningless and unless if we do not have softened hearts. Allah, Apostle, said the reward of deeds depends upon the intention, and every person will get the reward according to what he has intended.
Thank you.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bi nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to talk about ruthlessness, or being hard-hearted. In the book Usul al-Kafi, written by and developed by Muhammad ibn Ya'qub al-Kulayni, who was a great Shia scholar, we find that there's a section devoted to ruthlessness or being hard-hearted. We find that ruthlessness and hard-heartedness starts with committing makruhat. Makruhat means abominable jobs. Okay, they may not be strictly forbidden, but they are better not to be practiced. Okay. Ayatollah Javadi Amoli, Ayatollah Abdullah Javadi Amoli, who is at the moment one of the leading dignitaries in the Qom Hausa, we find that he mentioned that, ruthlessness and hard-heartedness starts from practicing abominable jobs, or those jobs that have been advised not to be practiced, and then the person comes to the committer of these sins, comes to practice minor sins, and then advances and goes, gets more drowned in the abyss of committing grave sins. And finally, he comes to not to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in practice, and says blasphemous things, and comes to deny the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The same can be understood based on some Quranic indications and instructions.
As the last episodes of today's special, in this part, we're speaking about the signs of a hardened heart. One of the signs is a hard heart is an unforgiving and resentful heart. Dear friend, the dangerous thing about unforgiveness and resentment is that it does more harm to us than the person we are holding those negative feelings against. Sometimes we hold on to bitterness and unforgiveness to protect ourselves from more hurt. But unfortunately, in blocking out the perceived bad that may or may not happen, we hardened our heart to block out the good that God wants to bring into our lives. Toxic people and relationships need to have very firm boundaries to honor your heart and the life God has given you. But you can forgive and let go without having to enter or re-enter a toxic situation. So take the matter to God. Cast all our cares, anger, and bitterness on Him and leave it there.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIV English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every part.
Today's special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
Ways to soften a hard heart. One way is reflecting on the Quran. In chapter 59, verse 21, Allah the Almighty says, "If we had sent down this Quran upon a mountain, you would have seen it humbled and coming apart from fear of Allah. and these examples we present to the people, that perhaps they will give thought. Surely our hearts are not harder than a mountain. Reciting the Quran, memorizing it, learning its language, and reflecting deeply on it are all acts which are worship and which lead to softening of heart, Allah willing.
That we consider to be hard-hearted. The Quran speaks about qaswatul qalb, thumma qasat qulubukum min ba'di dhalik. Allah says, fawaylun, waylun lilladhina qasat qulubuhum an dhikrillah, lilqasiyati qulubuhum an dhikrillah. Allah says, woe be to the ones whose hearts have gone through this hardening due to the distancing away from the remembrance of the Almighty subhanahu wa ta'ala. I tell you, in this day and age, the availability of the internet and YouTube, we have come across instances of people who are truly hard-hearted, isn't it? I tell you, when an individual goes to do and commit such a crime, what kind of heart do they have? What kind of heart that is sealed or darkened will make you kill innocent civilians, especially children? Therefore, the Quran comes forward and says what? Says in reference to Bani Israel, but one that applies to each and every human being to be aware of, and that is the heart can go through a state which is known as qaswatul qalb. The Quran says, "Thumma qasat qulubukum min ba'di dhalik, fahiya kal hijara aw ashad qaswa." Allah says, "Shall I tell you of a similitude of how the heart can become hardened? It is like a rock, or even worse than a rock." Here, the mystics, the Urafa, from the school of Ahlul Bayt, they say there is a beautiful point of reflection. They say the Quran in Surah Al-A'raf, verse 179, says that amongst the human beings that will be what? Punished in hellfire are the ones whose heart do not comprehend. لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا. Then the Quran says, أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ. They are like cattle, like animal. The scholars say, and this is a very delicate, crucial point, yes? They say every human being has an opportunity to go through what is known as قوس الصعود, or to go down in قوس النزول, meaning they are able to ascend upwardly or to descend downwardly.
As you listen to, we talked about hardened hearts on today's special. Inshallah, we decide to continue to talk about this topic, so please be with us on the next episode of today's special. Till then, may Allah bless all of you. Fi amanillah.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.